Hello, it's me. I hope everybody's doing well. This, yes, is the start of another series on chicken philosophy. You might be thinking, oh, you're spreading yourself too thin, but not to worry, this will be a limited series. You remember the Arbitel series? There was 8 episodes of that. Probably there won't be too many more than that of this, I think. I don't know. We'll see. It depends on how much I talk and how much I read, I suppose. So, okay, what are we doing here? So the book we're going to read is right here. And so, as you already saw, the title of the video or the episode of the podcast, if you're on the podcast, or the title of the podcast is Chicken Philosophy Ashtavakra Gita. And the title of the playlist is the same, Ashtavakra, you know, that. And the name of this video is Ashtavakra, I have to practice saying that, Gita Part 1. The book is called The Heart of Awareness. And so, okay, basically, I used to listen to a lot of Alan Watts. KPFK introduced me to Alan Watts, big lefty, you know. Parents voted for Reagan, but as I started to think for myself in my early 20s, I started to, well, I was hanging out with an old beatnik, that helped. But anyway, so I was listening late at night to KPFK. They always had Alan Watts playing. I don't know if it was every night or certain nights, but anyway. So I kind of got used to hearing his perspective and his voice and became kind of like, I like what this guy's saying. And then later, I was in a Western esoteric-based cult for almost 20 years, and there was one point where there was a bad schism, and I won't get into all that, but suffice to say that one of the things that I did to self-medicate to try to maintain sanity or establish sanity that was lacking at the time, so this was 2011, around March, was to listen to hours and hours and hours and hours. I just downloaded all the Alan Watts I could get my hands on through the LimeWire type, you know, the old Nutella network, you know, post Napster file sharing programs. Anyway, and yeah, I had about 18 hours of Alan Watts. Hit me up if you'd like. I've still got it all on my Google Drive. But anyway, won't incriminate myself too much. By the way, I'm trying something new with the sound levels, so hopefully this is all right. Okay, so yeah, then I came to India and I started talking to people in Nepal first for 4 months I lived, and then in India, and I would talk to Hindus about Hinduism, and somehow I started to notice that while there was a little bit of overlap in some of the terminology, the general umbrella gist, the general thrust, the general milieu, if you will, of the Hinduism that I was hearing about from Hindus here, I'm in India, by the way, anyway, was different than the impression I had got from the decades of listening to Alan Watts. Until I met my wife. I mean, we weren't married at the time. Obviously, we got married after we met, a year after we met. Anyway, she's from Bihar, where the Buddha did all his things, and Jainism, and a lot of other sort of a spiritual mecca there, if you will. Anyway, so the one thing that she wanted me to read, of all the things that could be termed Hindu or Indian philosophy, loosely speaking, was this, this book. She wanted me to get this book and read it. And I did. And it was the first time I was like, ah, okay. So if somebody, you know, like my review, my impression of it was that, someone must have handed Alan Watts a copy of this and then he read it and then based his entire, idea of Indian philosophy and Hinduism on the contents of this book. It's probably not true, obviously. I'm sure he read a lot more than that. But yeah, it sort of agrees, in my opinion, with his general, again, thrust milieu, umbrella overarching message or theme of what would have been termed in the 1950s as Eastern philosophy, or at least that part of Eastern philosophy that is Hindu. But again, there's six orthodox and six unorthodox philosophies, they say, in India. I'm not going to rattle them all off because I don't have them memorized, perhaps in a later episode. But for now, I'll just leave it at that, and I will start reading, and I hope you enjoy it. It's good. If you're interested, this is, by the way, Happy New Year. It's January 1st. Yesterday, I uploaded, and it went up in the early hours of the morning this morning, though it was still New Year's Eve for people in Europe and the Western Hemisphere, you know. But, yeah, Year in Review 2023. If you're curious, there it is. I talk for an hour and 10 minutes about my year. It's not about, like, the year for other people. It's just about what I did in 2023. Okay, so I'm going to skip the forward on this one. You know, I've gone back and forth in my philosophy on reading forwards and introductions. But for this one, I'm just going to jump into the content, the English translation of the Ashtavakra Gita. Here it goes. Pass. There's like the foreword, the translator's introduction, some other chud's introduction. Okay, here we go. The Self. O Master, tell me how to find detachment, wisdom, and freedom. Child, if you wish to be free, shun the poison of the senses. Sorry. Seek the nectar of truth, of love and forgiveness, simplicity and happiness. Earth, fire and water, the wind and the sky, you are none of these. If you wish to be free, know you are the self, the witness of all these, the heart of awareness. Oh, by the way. Some dramatic. The heart of awareness. The music kicks in. That was pretty cool. Not entirely intentional. So, back in... Sorry, sidebar. I talk at times, sometimes more than others. So in 2014, I decided to reinvent myself. Actually, the process had started before that. I got hardcore into practicing yoga alone, solo, based on just what I knew, some 20 poses. And meditation, I read all the Shobogenzo, so I was doing Zazen at the end of a half hour of meditation every day in my lunch break at work in a private place in a corporate building. And here's a picture of that, or a few. Anyway, so then I decided to become a yoga teacher and quit my desk job. And I decided to reinvent myself. So I shaved my head, you know, like you do, and went to Hollywood Boulevard. And I didn't know where, again, I was coming from Western esoterica. And I had met yoga people. I was aware that they were a thing, but I wasn't part of the community. And so I walked down Hollywood Boulevard and walked into this, like, yoga-looking place. You know, they had, like, the big cloth hanging with an om and Buddha and Shiva and stuff like that. So I walked in, and they were playing this music. And I went up and I said, what is this music? And they said, Buddha Bar. And I later found out that's a series of albums. So this is the beginning of Buddha Bar 1. Anyway, I bought a pink shirt and white, like, sailor pants or something, and so bald me with pink shirt and white pants was my new, the beginning of what could be termed that period of Pymander Aquarian's development, or mine, whatever. That was how I was dressed when I showed up on the first day for my yoga teacher training. Let's see if there's a picture of me in that outfit. Hopefully you just saw something. Anyway, that's hence the choice of music. Some personal relevance. Set your body aside. Sit in your own awareness, you will at once be happy, forever still, forever free. You have no caste, no duties bind you, formless and free, beyond the reach of the senses, the witness of all things. So be happy. Right or wrong, joy or sorrow, these are of the mind only. They are not yours. It is not really you who acts or enjoys. You are everywhere, forever free. Forever and truly free, the single witness of all things. But if you see yourself as separate, then you are bound. Quote, I do this, I do that, end quote. The big black snake of selfishness has bitten you. Quote, I do nothing, end quote. This is the nectar of faith, so drink and be happy. The nectar of faith, not alcohol. Know you are one, pure awareness. With the fire of this conviction, burn down the forest of ignorance. Free yourself from sorrow and be happy. Be happy, for you are joy, unbounded joy. You are awareness itself. Just as a coil of rope is mistaken for a snake, so you are mistaken for the world. If you think you are free, you are free. If you think you are bound, you are bound. For the saying is true, you are what you think. The self looks like the world, but this is just an illusion. The self is everywhere. One, still, free, perfect. The witness of all things. Awareness without action, clinging, or desire. Meditate on the self, one without two. Exalted awareness. Give up the illusion of the separate self. Give up the illusion of the... Oh, I just said that. Give up the feeling, within or without, that you are this or that. My child, because you think you are the body, for a long time, you have been bound. No. You are pure awareness. With this knowledge as your sword, cut through the chains and be happy. Oh, no talking. Sorry. We can't have talking in the music. Oh, no. Oh, no. All right. Instrumentals only, please. And let's turn the volume down a little bit. I don't know if you heard any of what I've said so far. For you are already free, without action or flaw, luminous and bright. You are bound only by the habit of meditation. What? Okay. Your nature is pure awareness. You are flowing in all things. Oh, maybe it's like suggesting that you be bound only by the habit of meditation. We'll see. I think it's like kind of like post-meditation, like not anti-meditation, but like let's transcend even meditation. Right. Okay. You are flowing in all things, and all things are flowing in you. But beware the narrowness of the mind. You are always the same, unfathomable awareness, limitless and free, serene and unperturbed. desire only your own awareness. Whatever takes form is false. Only the formless endures. When you understand the truth of this teaching, you will not be born again. For God is infinite, within the body and without, like a mirror, and the image in a mirror. As the air is everywhere, flowing around a pot and filling it, so God is everywhere, filling all things and flowing through them forever. Awareness. Yesterday I lived bewildered in illusion, but now I am awake, flawless and serene, beyond the world. From my light, the body and the world arise, so all things are mine, or nothing is. Now I have given up the body and the world. I have a special gift. I see the infinite self. As a wave, seething and foaming, is only water, so all creation, streaming out of the self, is only the self. Consider a piece of cloth. Is it only threads? So all creation, when you look closely, is only the self. Oh, so it is only threads, right? Okay. Like the sugar in the juice of the sugar cane, I am the sweetness in everything I have made. When the self is unknown, the world arises, not when it is known. But you mistake the rope for the snake. When you see the rope, the snake vanishes. My nature is light, nothing but light. When the world arises, I alone am shining. When the world arises in me, it is just an illusion. Water shimmering in the sun, a vein of silver in mother of pearl, a serpent in a strand of rope. From me the world streams out, and in me it dissolves. As a bracelet melts into gold, a pot crumbles into clay, a wave subsides into water. I adore myself. How wonderful I am! I can never die. The whole world may perish, from Brahma to a blade of grass, but I am still here. Indeed, how wonderful. I adore myself. For I have taken form, but I am still one. Neither coming nor going, yet I am still everywhere. How wonderful, and how great my powers, for I am without form, yet till the end of time I uphold the universe. Wonderful, for nothing is mine, yet it is all mine. Whatever is thought or spoken, I am not the knower, nor the known, nor the knowing. These three are not real. They only seem to be when I am not known, for I am flawless. Two from one. This is the root of suffering. Only perceive that I am one without two. Pure awareness, pure joy, and the world is false. There is no other remedy. Through ignorance, I once imagined I was bound, but I am pure awareness. I live beyond all distinctions, in unbroken meditation. Indeed, I am neither bound nor free. An end to illusion. It is all groundless. For the whole of creation, though it rests in me, is without foundation. The body is nothing. The world is nothing. When you understand this fully, how can they be invented? For the self is pure awareness, nothing less. The body is false, and so are its fears. Heaven and hell, freedom and bondage, it is all invention. What can they matter to me? I am awareness itself. I see only one, many men, one wilderness. Then to what may I cling? I am not the body, nor is the body mine. I am not separate. I am awareness itself, bound only by my thirst for life. I am the infinite ocean. When thoughts spring up, the wind freshens like waves. A thousand worlds arise. But when the wind falls, the trader thinks with his ship. On the boundless ocean of my being, he founders. And all the worlds with him. Founders? All right. Flounders? I don't know. But oh, how wonderful. I am the unbounded deep, in whom all things naturally arise, rush against each other playfully, and then subside. Wisdom. You know the self, by nature one without end. You know the self, and you are serene. How can you still desire riches? When from ignorance you see silver in mother of pearl, greed arises. From ignorance of the self, desire arises. For the world where the senses whirl, knowing yourself is that in which the worlds rise and fall like waves in the ocean. Why do you run about so wretchedly? For have you not heard? You are pure awareness, and your beauty is infinite. So why let lust mislead you? The man who is wise knows himself in all things, and all things in himself. Yet how strange, he still says, "This is mine." Determined to be free, he abides in the oneness beyond all things. Yet how strange, indulging in passion, he weakens, and lust overwhelms him. Feeble with age, still he is filled with desire, when without doubt he knows that lust is the enemy of awareness. Indeed, how strange! He longs to be free. He has no care for this world or the next, and he knows what is passing or forever.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And yet how strange, he is still afraid of freedom. But he who is truly wise always sees the absolute self. Celebrated, he is not delighted. Spurned, he is not angry. Pure of heart, he watches his own actions as if they were another's. How can praise or blame disturb him? With clear and steady insight, he sees the world as a mirage, and he no longer wonders about it. How can he fear the approach of death? Pure of heart, he desires nothing, even in despair. He is content in the knowledge of the self. With whom may I compare him? With clear and steady insight, he knows that whatever he sees is by its very nature nothing. How can he prefer one thing to another? He is beyond all duality. Free from desire, he has driven from his mind all longings for the world. Come what may, joy or sorrow, nothing moves him.
I'm just going to choose something else. I mean, the Buddha bar thing was a nice idea, but it's just not working.
However, the Nutcracker Suite, January 1st, still the season, till Martin Luther King weekend, right? Anyway, where were we? Nothing moves him. Yeah. The true seeker. The wise man knows the self, and he plays the game of life. But the fool lives in the world like a beast of burden. The true seeker feels no elation, even in that exalted state which Indra and all the gods unhappily long for. He understands the nature of things. His heart is not smudged by right or wrong, as the sky is not smudged by smoke. He is pure of heart. He knows the whole world is only the self. So who can stop him from doing as he wishes? Of the four kinds of being, from Brahma to a blade of grass, only the wise man is strong enough to give up desire and aversion. How rare he is. Knowing he is the self, he acts accordingly and is never fearful. For he knows he is the self, one without two, the Lord of all creation. Right, I'll close there for today. Let me see if, yes, got a nice handy bookmark. Bookmark handy. Put that there. And put that here next to Mechan Revelations. And next time on Chicken Philosophy, we'll be getting back to the Mechan Revelations. And this will now be in the rotation until it's finished, which again, won't be too long. We're already almost halfway through with the book, although there was a long introduction at the beginning, so we'll see. There'll at least be, I don't know, I'm guessing 4 or 5 episodes should cover reading all the way through the something that starts with an A, Gita, that you're watching now. And I hope you enjoyed it. I honestly, like, I love this. This is great. I think, you know, on the lower levels of complexity, where there's black and white tile, you can always find differences, you know, incompatible differences between this and that, even from different forms of Abrahamic religion, right? But when you move a little bit higher up toward transcendence, you can see some overlap in the philosophies of Ibn Arabi and the author of this Gita. And I don't know, down the road, perhaps even Teilhard de Chardin, though we haven't really gotten into Teilhard de Chardin much yet, just kind of an overview so far. But yeah, that's kind of the point, that those higher up levels are where I like to reside, rather than being down here like, this is different from that, this is incompatible with that. It's not that I'm unaware of those differences on the Asiya level, the Malkuth level, or the chattering lay people arguing about who's right, where while the priest and the imam and the yogi and the sheikh and, you know, that can all get together and find the places where they are saying the same thing. So, yeah, okay. Anyway, I will leave you with this beautiful image of Amitabha Buddha, and I will wish you, as always, until next time, a heartfelt